Ah, damn you. I turned you off.
Well, you're starting out on a turn more stuff off.
Well, actually, I was still covering Eric, doing the control board, so I was being horribly inept. But we did end the great...
Whoa, horribly inept.
Grr.
I'll rip your throat out. Come
I'm
across.
Angry.
I'm the pack leader here.
You are listening to What Jail Is Like, improvisational comedy for you, and by that session, foe that ass.
Who brought the elephant?
I can't do it on command. Now it's just a balloon and squeaks.
Quick, who are we?
My name is Mark. With me are
Eric,
Matt.
Okay, I feel much better. I was starting to get
horribly demoralized. Matt,
come on, Matt.
Have you ever been standing on a rug, and then like somebody comes in, grabs the two corners of the rug? That's me. My whole shtick taken away. I can't say what up to the peeps now. So I'm not gonna.
Gotta help.
You have to your own devices.
You gotta
to actually determine what is up.
Any listener,
who are your peeps? Because I'm not here to clarify.
Any listeners tuning in for the first time today probably didn't get the full depth of the post-postmodern brilliance of what we were just doing in that opening, imitating each other.
We are post-postmodern.
But yeah, we posted postmodern in the mail and sent its ass to Anchorage.
I posted up on Postmodern. And
did you?
He's got some crazy elbows.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
He's got that flagrant. Bill Lambier mask.
Seriously.
Thing.
Flagrant fouls.
The broken eye socket thing. Yeah, he's a... I actually posted Postmodernism, and it makes a really nice deck. I had to put a pretty deep foundation in to hold it up. But, you know, it really anchors well.
What we do here is for the next 2 hours, or since it's... Part of those 2 hours have already elapsed. Well, for 2 hours, since comedy that's written down and comedy that is planned and controlled, that's trite and boring, and that's no good if you know what you're going to say before you say it, Rutabaga, then it's no good anymore. It's stale. It's just not fun. It's an oyster cracker by itself under the couch, and then you're moving, and then you find the oyster cracker, and you're really hungry, but... We are a big juicy sandwich, and it's a very big sandwich, and you don't know exactly what's in the middle of it because it's such a big sandwich, but bite in, and as it turns out, we are damn yummy.
Yeah, so basically what we're telling you to do is to bite us, if you could. Just take a big bite out
just
of us.
Just chomp.
Just bite me individually. Make sure you get a good piece of me in there.
Yeah, if you could...
slather your face with some Eric, too.
Eat me. I want to be dribbling down your chin.
Make sure you get a good piece of Mark stuck up in your gums.
Yeah, you wanna get like a little Mark residue just there on the lip. It's sexy.
Like after you eat Cheetos, you know, you have to stick a finger up in your gums and like pull out the residue. That's what we want you to do with Mark. And then you get to eat it again. You know, it's like two Cheetos for every one.
And I want the next burp you have after you finish the sentence. I want a little bit of me coming up with that.
A little later tonight at around 12 o'clock when you hit the bathroom right before you go to bed, I want a little bit of me to come leaking out.
And droop head in the toilet swirling around.
The orifice of your choice. I want you to brush a little bit of me out of your mouth when you brush your teeth.
You'll notice that I didn't participate in that exchange. It's because although I find the deaths of celebrities absolutely hilarious and can find the humor in really any tragedy, I don't think poop, that should just be off the airwaves. That's dirty. Dirty, dirty, dirty. So what's up, everybody?
It feels like we haven't done this in like 42 and a half
years. It does. It years. Really does. It feels like it's been...
Did we tape last week too?
Last week was done live, as I recall.
Well, I mean, you were on life support, so you might not remember a whole lot of it. And that I'm glad that annoying beeping isn't here.
Holy God, yes.
That heart monitor was annoying.
Well, you know, it was all the paint that I was eating. Because, you know, they tell you that you can't just throw away paint into the dumpsters and stuff like that, so... Had all this extra paint.
It's good though. You like put on a Triscuit.
Well, seriously, and it was white colored, so I figured it would work as milk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it in all the commercials and stuff when they put it on
like
Frosted Flakes and stuff like that.
Little did you know that you get too much white in you, and that's not good. Many people know that out there.
So, dudes, what up?
Finally, he's overcoming the. The butterfly emerges from its chrysalis.
Me. Yes, you've got to be you.
You've got to be you. There's no disrespect meant.
Because that whole David Caruso trip really.
So I went to a party last night at some mutual friend's house, and apparently at this party before I had arrived, there was an insect caught. Although I don't really think it qualifies as an insect.
No, it was a bird.
I think it was mammalian. I think it had full, bones and a spinal cord and all that good stuff. But, for practical purposes, so I can relay this to you, we'll say it was an insect, and we'll say it was a hornet of sorts. If you can kind of imagine the basic hornet shape in your mind.
And then inflate that to the size of, like, a Pomeranian.
Like, imagine that you have the image of a hornet, like, on, Photoshop on your computer. Now, kind of enlarge it to, like, 200 times, and then add a tail on its butt that's three times the length of its body.
And a surly expression.
And some antennas that's about the length of its body on the top of its head. And have that flying
around. And a tattoo that says mother and its arm.
And release that into your living room at a party. And then capture it with a cup and put it in the freezer for a couple hours. And then enjoy. It sounds like a dessert. Enjoy. Make six servings.
That is a damn sensible thing to do with intruders, is capture them in a cup and put them in a freezer. That's, handguns, that's a load of crap. You know, the kids just find them and blow their own heads off. But never has a kid gotten a cup, put itself in the cup, and put itself in the freezer.
No, it's tough to do once you're in the cup.
Yeah. Keep a cup by the bedstand.
Pretty much immobilized.
Deal with bird with that. Yeah.
So this thing was gigantic, and apparently the huge tail that was like four times its own body length was not to sting. Apparently it was to deposit eggs. That's what it shot its little eggs at. And
ooh.
I learned a little fun fact that it was a parasitic hornet, which means that it, or wasp or whatever, it lays its eggs into the bodies of other live insects and waits for them to incubate and hatch, and then the little insects eat alive the insect that they're buried in until they're free.
So if you're an insect.
They burst through their stomach and then they're
and free. Then run around the spaceship
run around
and
that's right.
Lay eggs and kill
if,
all
you
the rest
see
of the,
this
and then Security Weaver
really
up.
Big insect out there with a tattoo on it, stay far away. It's going to be all like, yeah, you'll love it. You get this amazing high when I stick my ovipositor in you. That sucker lies.
That's audio footnote. Mark said ovipositor. Is anybody else? I'm impressed. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote, I was going to go for ovipositor because I heard that word being dropped at the party yesterday, but I didn't have the balls. I didn't have the sack to do it, quite frankly, to drop it. I guess, in conclusion, Mark Hines is a bigger man than I. And audio footnote.
I'm sorry, I beat you to it. Audio footnote. We go to parties where people say ovipositor. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. The second most recent place I can remember picking up the term ovipositor was in Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie. And although I'm not the kind of wank who spends all of his time generating his comedy by quoting other people, they did some fantastic work on that show, and I missed the show, which recently went off the air. The first time that I became familiar with the term ovipositor was when I was a servant in the insect kingdom. I spent the 6th through the 8th years of my life under the rule of King Zerzor, who is this massive insect lord that rules the underground. And unfortunately, I stumbled through a hole in the backyard into King Zerzor's kingdom. And, of course, they took me prisoner because they can't have a human down there because me as a human, I might go and tell the other humans about King Zerzor's kingdom and there'd be loads of trouble. Well, I worked my way up through the ranks and there actually turned out to be this bizarre, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat kind of thing going on once he reaches Egypt. That was pretty much me in the insect kingdom. And now I'm back here and things are all right. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Mark's medication has been located, so you can all stop worrying. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Ooh, pill lady. And audio footnote.
Ooh.
Dudes.
You got one?
No.
Oh, man. No. I was hoping we could do the entire show.
That'd be great.
That's a goal.
Like the entire show.
We should open an audio footnote.
Airspace.
We should do. We should open an audio footnote and close it at the end.
So the whole thing has just been like subtext.
It never. Oh, what an awesome idea.
No,
file that away.
No show actually exists. It's all just, the whole show is a reference to the show that never happened.
God, that would that blow up the world?
It's pretty groundbreaking.
That might end reality.
That, I think that would double back on postmodernism, making it postmodernism, which I think nobody has
back
attempted.
Or would it be pre-post-post-modernism?
Oh,
post-it notes?
you and your intellectuals and your funny talk.
It's kind of like showing the whole movie before the opening credits.
Yeah.
Audio footnote. We go to parties where people say ovipositor. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Any grandeur that's attempting to be conveyed by that audio footnote should be kind of diminished by the fact that ovipositors are present at the parties we go to. And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Matt has an ovipositor. And audio footnote.
It's long and luscious.
So what's up, peeps?
I don't know, dudes. I'm just saying, this thing was gross.
Oh,
it's the size of my hand.
And he's got mighty large hands,
I
ladies.
Have hands the size of Christmas hams. Making this hornet big, the size of a Christmas ham.
Big, meaty,
and you don't want
hands.
A Christmas ham hornet in your house.
That'd be awesome if that was his name. Like, you look in the book. Hey, guys, it's a Christmas ham hornet.
Well, that brings me to another point. Why we got to be calling this thing like an ovipositor? Why can't we, you know, just name things what they are? Case in point, why can't the actual, like, phylum or class, you know, species name of this thing be Christmas ham hornet?
Big-ass wasp.
You know, or like if you see a really mean dog, you'd be like, damn nasty dog! You know? Like, oh, that's one of those damn nasty ones. And that's what, you know, you're right. So everybody, you know, gets kicked up a couple intellect notches. Because they're all speaking, you know, certifiable scientific terms. I'm saying let's liberate scientific vocabulary. Make it accessible to, you know, the public.
Hey, that's one of those hot chicks.
Seriously. Yeah. And that's actually their subspecies. You see?
Audio footnote. Please don't call and
yeah.
Get out of the audio footnote. Out. I'm putting up soundproofing in my audio footnote. And audio footnote.
You know, so I'm thinking, let's start this trend, dudes. We have this kind of sway, this kind of power to the, you know, blindly accepting masses. Let's just call everything what it is. This class will be a lot easier for everybody. The books will be a lot thinner because everything will be based on common sense and logic.
Books will be thinner.
Don't we want our books to be thinner? Wouldn't this be a happier world?
I don't know if they would. You know, I mean, like... Christmas ham hornet actually is a longer word.
It's a longer word, but it's just kind of
I don't know.
Knowledge.
What's the Greek, what's the Latin name of this thing? It's like alafamalakapalapapu.
Yeah, and then you got to do like
I don't know. I don't know. That's actually it.
Well, good.
Very good. So, I mean, how far are you planning on taking this? You want to rename like wheels like roundy roundy move things?
Mm-hmm. That's causing more work.
You know, but it's all going to even out. A lot of scientific things are going to get way shorter names. Like ugly bug instead of Staphylococcus monococcus, you know.
He worked for the president.
Ass bug. What?
He worked for the president, didn't he?
Woo!
See, and we can consolidate things.
Audio
We'd
footnote.
Have the same name as the former.
You're in the audio footnote again.
He's standing outside. I left the door open.
Continue.
Okay. Audio footnote. I was just going to point out that I think that's. That may be the first political joke we've ever made. Although, if you count the whole JFK Jr. thing as political, I mean, you know, his dad was a politician. That's you know, sort of. But not something we do frequently. Yes. All right, come in.
Hey, what about all that Democracy Now stuff?
That's not political. That's an ice cream flavor.
Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Hey, it's a nice welcome, Matt.
Oh, well, thanks. And audio footnote.
That's where we're going to come out of there.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
What are you doing in there with the water running?
I don't even want to know. I
found this bagel that I'd lost. I threw it out, though.
So everything should be named exactly. Call them like you see them, people. It'll catch on. Believe me. A lot of words in our vocabulary like started that way. It's, you know? It's a little known fact that the word cool started like that. Originally, people were saying, damn, it's freaking freezing in here. Or, you know, that, you know, but meaning it's cool in here. Like, it's a good place to hang out. Or they would say, damn, that new album is freaking freezing. But, you know, it was a little mouthy, a little wordy. And so they got short and smooth it out. And it catches on. And soon everybody's going, hey, that's cool. And they like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trendsetter. I'm a mover. I'm a shaker. What can I say?
So speaking of finding creepy things in your house, did we go over this already? I can't have my entire time frame reference. No, we haven't. Speaking of creepy things in your house.
Yes.
There's a bat. a big, scary bat in Mark's apartment. I was there. This thing.
I don't think my landlord listens, so you can admit that you actually are
living in your one-bedroom apartment. Yes. In the back of your
we
don't share a bedroom. Yeah, well, you have separate rooms.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's kinda, you know, it's
it kind of deflates the whole mythic.
My cat's gay, so there's
no. We're really doing it to feel. No, you know what, Matt? Let me just to explain. Mark and I decided we want to be closer to you, little plebeians who listen to the show. So we've decided to try to live like you for a while.
I was gonna say.
So it's a monastic existence in terms of space, like the space we allow ourselves to live in. But I mean, all our stuff is still way better than yours anyway.
Seriously.
So I mean, we've got really nice stuff. It's just in a very small space. So I'm working, typing on my little laptop computer, laying on my bed. At when Mark's two cats begin to flip out, like really flip, and the little ones like jumping off of boxes and like flipping over and stuff. So I decide, all right, you know, at first I treat them like children. So I'm like, okay, this is like when, you know, a kid wants attention. I'm not going to look. And then I decided, wait, these are cats. These are animals. They act on instinct. So I roll over just in time to see, like, reenact any one of a number of scenes from Dusk Till Dawn where this like mouthful of fangs bat is just coming at my head.
Holy shit.
And whoa, and the
Nike. You know, ever see that Chris Farley movie?
Yeah,
where
I did.
He says that?
They have. I don't know if anybody's seen a bat up close. And if you have, please call during the next musical break at 359-9338. But or fly left for those of you who are numerically impaired, or email us at whatjailislike@hotmail.com. But if you see these things, their wings are kind of see through, which is Mark. Feel free to chime in on how creepy this thing was at any moment. This thing was creepy, and it was big, and it would fly in a lazy circle.
So it's in the apartment.
Yeah, it's in the bedroom I currently reside in.
How in the hell did it get in there?
Mark?
There's this one closet towards the back. There are a lot of closets in this apartment. Props to the closet space. Because as everybody knows, I'm a clothes hog, you know, and I have lots of closet space. Actually, that's crap. I've got like two shirts. They're both black. I'm intense. So there's this one closet that I keep the cat's litter pen in. And it's got an actual ladder going up in the closet. The cats can, you know, they don't have to use the ladder to get to the litter. I'm kind of nice about that. But this closet goes up way high. There's no light in it. And I've never really explored the top of it. So I'm thinking maybe it came in through the closet. There may be some hole to the roof.
Can I just explain how screwed up this situation is?
Yeah.
The fact that you're living in an apartment and there's a bat in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, try putting a bat. Okay, so here's the primary problem is you have two writers who write about experiencing things but don't experience them. You've got two writers trying to figure out how to get a bat out of their apartment.
God, this is
so crazy. I call animal control. It's what, midnight?
Yeah.
I call it animal control and get the fire department. No. Champagne Fire Department. Like, hi, I need animal control. There's a bat in my house. And the guy, there's a pause, and the guy goes, there's no animal control people on duty right now. So I said, what? And he said, there's no animal control people on duty right now. I said, okay, well, what do you suggest?
Do you happen to know anything about bats?
He's like, you could get a broom and chase it out. I'm thinking, this thing flies. I can't fly. I'm grounded. You know, I am flying deficient, and it's quick and, you know, nimble, and it has radar.
Echolocation.
You know, so
you know, Eric may be a bit resentful about the entire thing, but I actually understand Animal Control's position on this. You know, that they're keeping 8 to 5 hours because animals respect those hours too. You know,
yeah, most animals work a 40-hour business week, and they sleep the rest of the
day. They're tired when they get home. They want nothing to do but, you know, sit at their homes and not bother anybody.
And well, I mean, think of this: most animals that people have a problem with, like, okay, you don't find dogs in your house. It's not like I came home and there was a dog in my house. No, you get rats, bats. Various rodents like squirrels, possums, whatever. That's what you call animal control for. What are those animals? Oh, they're nocturnal. Yeah. But animal control is only open 8 to 5. So, you know, we'll keep the possum calm until 8 and we'll send somebody over.
We'll lock him in a room.
So the main problem here is there are two cats in with, you know, a very possible rabies carrying animal. And these are jungle cats, you know, like Mark's cats are hard asses. Like, well, Orbital, the smaller of the two, isn't really a hard ass. He's just he's more autistic. Like, so he'll get bitten just because he's looking at something shiny. But Thunder is, we're talking, this is a puma. This is a little baby puma, you know? And he is leaping. He is, like, airborne 50% of the time now trying to get the bat. So, being the two great white hunters that we are, we throw a blanket over us. And
Wait, over you? Yeah, not over the bat, just over you.
Well, we pull it over, like, the two of us, and we kind of, like, donkey costume it into the room, trying to get the cats out. So I say, it stopped. I open the door, and it's not flying anymore, right? So I stick my head in. And
was it perched on
the
something?
Yes, it was perched on the door jamb. Like, right over me. So I look in, I'm looking around, I'm like, okay. And I look up, and there's this little bat head, like, hanging off the thing. I'm like, so I'm like, okay, Mark, get in here and get your cats, because they don't listen to me. I'm like, get your cats. And, you know, as he went in, I said, you know what, if that thing makes a move, I'm closing the door. It was like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Outland with Sean Connery, where they release the poison gas, and he has to decide that the last three guys can't make it through the airlock, so he shuts the door on him and watches him die, because it's for the good of the, you know, community. Right. Well, even though it was three on the inside and only one of me outside, I've decided that bat goes airborne, the door is closing, you know? So, of course, he gets one cat out, and the second cat won't leave, and he makes a little too much noise, and the bat goes airborne. And I slam the door as Mark's coming at me, like, rah! And I slam the door. Mark wrenches it open and only manages breathlessly to say, bastard. So now we're outside, but I think the other cat got out.
Yeah.
And there's a bat. This story is taking far too long. But it then proceeds to keep flying into a wall, and we're watching it, and like, so it manages to perch itself on the molding above one of the big windows. So again, once again, take the blanket, donkey it inside, and Mark opens both windows, because I'm not going anywhere near the bat. What am I? You know, So we get both windows open, and we close the door, and we're like, okay, it'll fly out. You know, 10 minutes, this bat ain't moving. It's like, windows are open, night air, fresh, go outside, you know? Now, I wanted to chill. It was looking for a place to stay. So I go in and I start throwing shirts at it. I pick up my dirty shirts. I'm throwing them. I don't want to hit it because I don't want to hurt it. It won't move. So now I'm taking socks and I'm balling them up into little balls. And I peg it. Like, I peg it and it does not move. It is just hanging. So now I'm pissed because this thing is...
And when Eric's pissed, he gets Mark to do things for him.
No. I took some actual action then. I went into the main room and got this big yellow stick out of the window that holds the window up. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna spook it out. Here we go. I'm gonna scare it out. So I get up there and I've got the blanket on me, kind of, and I start tapping the molding that it's on with the stick. And I'm getting progressively closer to it, and it won't move. So now I'm getting frustrated.
Are you actually touching the bat?
No. I'm tapping. I don't want to hit it with a stick, you know. And I'm, you know, at this point, had I been a not nice person, I could have just walked up and smacked it, like broken its little bat spine, and then thrown it out the window. I didn't. So Mark's standing behind me, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to poke the bat. Like, there's gonna have to be bat pokage occurring. So I take the end of the stick and I poke the bat, and it's like, you know, you prepare yourself. You're like, I sat there, and I'm like, okay, the bat is going to move.
It's still moved
a half second faster than I thought it would, you know? Yeah. So, like, Ted and I had, like, a second reaction time planned. Like, I'll poke, turn, and, like, by the time I turn, it will start to move. Now, poke, like, instantaneously, it's airborne. Like, its big leathery wings, the light shining through translucently. I freak. It does some more flying in the walls and manages to, on the opposite side, get one claw on the molding. So now it's hanging in the creepiest position I've ever seen. It's got one, like, wing distended as it's holding on, and it's, like, looking at us through the doorway, like, bring it on, you know? So I make Mark go get it. Mark got all accoutremented.
Yeah, I, 2 years ago, had a really inane, actually it was brilliant, but it was also inane, Halloween
brilliantly
costume.
Brilliantly inane.
Yeah, like... 3 years ago, I went as Death, and that was kind of trite, but I think I did it better. I did, like, the Ingmar Bergman Death rather than, you know, like, just any other. And I think I did a good job at it. I was challenging people with chess, and nobody caught the reference. The year after that, I wanted to take it up a notch, so I was the absolute negation of being, which was very stupid. And I just dressed in black from head to toe, just covered every inch of my body, and got this hooded faceless mask that I put on. And I offered people eyeballs from a jar. They were peanut butter, like chocolate eyeballs. And it was very stupid. It confused a lot of people. It proved itself worth it just by walking around. Try this. Get a faceless mask and walk around Halloween or just about any night around 1 a.m. Just walk up and down, you know, like 6th and Daniel, you know, and see what happens, because you are actually going to like it. It's going to be worthwhile and prove itself to be brilliant, not inane. Anyway, so I've got this mask and pull over my head and went in there, covered in head to toe with clothing, not an inch of my body exposed, save, you know, maybe a half centimeter of my neck. And I'm figuring the bat's not that precise based on previous
experience.
But it's
got big fans and it sucks blood. So
yes, it does.
You know.
I'm a writer. Eric's a writer. I'm thinking, and, you know, in my fiction, I've sent myself to the Andes. I've challenged space. I've gone to the greatest heights of man. I'm a writer. Hemingway wrote about going and killing bulls, you know, and lions. And John Huston, film director, you know, did plenty of hunting. And she's got to wrestle a bat. So went up there, grabbed the bat. The bat beat the snot out of me.
It was tough. That bat. I almost had to throw the towel in. Yeah. The ref kept turning around. The bat's manager kept.
A bat was clearly throwing cheap shots.
Well, he had Jimmy the mouth of the South Hart acting as manager with any of that bullhorn. So every time the bat was about to throw a cheap shot, you know, Jimmy would like lay on the bullhorn, and the ref would turn around and tell him to quit it, and like, you know, Hulk Hogan or somebody would come out from the back and hit Mark with a chair and then run out again before it was horrible.
He's got this flying squirrel in there hitting me over the head with, like steel chairs and a totally unfair situation. So I tag Stone Cold Steve Austin in, and Stone Cold kicks all of them out, gets them out of the apartment, and I'm a hero. Then Stone Cold falls out the window too because, you know.
That's how he is. Yeah. But just, I thought the most brilliant moment is when actually Mark grasped the bat and threw it out the window. He slammed the window shut on the blanket that he had used to grab the bat, and we're like, both of us breathe a collective sigh of relief. And then we both turn and realize that the window on the other wall, like 90 degrees from us, is open. And for some reason, we both at the exact same moment had this panic attack about the bat trying to come back. Like he was, you know, he wanted round two.
All right, it's round two. Come on.
So flying over boxes and clothes, the window gets slammed shut with a scream. And we went and bought ice cream. So that was our bad adventure. It was tough. It was.
We live intense lives.
We do.
My favorite part of the story, and there were many, was the flawless way that you used the word donkey as a verb.
We donkeyed our way in.
Now, come on. In retrospect, you got to tell me that the bat was kind of cute.
No, no. There was not a cute thing about this.
In retrospect.
You know.
No, take a good look at the situation.
I am. Here. Mice, cute. But this is my proof that there is no God. Because who looks at a mouse and goes, you know what that needs? It needs big, translucent wings. And little hands with claws. No, nobody. No. Don't awe. I am all about giving any animal its due. This thing was coming at me, and I was like, "This is the creepiest, most disgusting thing I've ever seen." And there was no moment when it was cute. There was not a moment when it was balled up and like hanging on the molding. It was just creepy.
Let's face it, you know,
fur and wings,
nature or plasticine civilization, it is a damn rude thing to do to leave guano on somebody else's pillow.
Yeah, I found bat dung on my blanket that evening.
Really?
Yes, it pooped on my bed.
Guano.
This little brown, like it looked kind of like a, I don't know, like leftover Play-Doh from the Fun Factory, like squisher. It was like kind of knotted up at the end. It was really gross.
You know that bat is having a great laugh with his friends right now.
I think Mark may have broken its spine on the way out.
Came in. It's like it came back in while we were gone, scrawled some threats on the wall.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt my security deposit because I can't get that off. Yeah. It's really, really bugging me.
Yeah. We were afraid it was going to come back with 8 or 9 friends be knocking on the window. Come on! Bring it on! Let us in!
That's truly an epic tale.
All right. You are listening to What Jail Is Like on WEFD Champaign 90.1 FM. It's about 10:45, and what do we got coming up next?
Oh, jeez. Hijinks abounding.
Okay, we got some hijinks abounding. The phone number is 359-9338. The email address is whatjailislike@hotmail.com. We'll just give him the third crucial bit of information, Eric.
Which is...
Page.
Oh, the webpage.
Yes, which but I did some work on this week.
Yeah, I actually did some work on the webpage this week. Click on inmates. It's at go.to/jail. Very simple. Go.to, not the number. Go to jail. So check it out.
Yes, we love interacting with you, or at least we do a damn plausible imitation of love.
Much like your parents did when you were living at home.
Susie.
What are you doing?
That was an awesome joke. That was awesome.
So give us a call if you got anything to say, 359-9338. And what we got coming up is actually a pretty exciting thing. One of the perks of being at a radio station is you get music ahead of time. And we've got... that goes out over the air.
I was donking the mic over.
Okay.
What we got coming up next is some brand new Promise Ring material. The Promise Ring, very good band, who a number of people that we're aware of like quite a lot. And they're going to be playing in this state on September...
Next Saturday.
That's the 11th, I think.
Yeah, it's at Wesleyan Campus.
New album coming out soon. We got it now. What are we going to hear?
We're hearing track number 9 off of it called Arms and Danger.
So you can pre-order it off the Jade Tree. That's the record label's website. You can work out the rest. Or just wait for it to come out in stores, and I hope you enjoy this tune.